Hello, audience. I'm Peter, and welcome to the Dr. Peter Resnick's Toolbox. I want to tell you, I started receiving these very nice emails with the feedback about this show. Thank you to all those who take time to write notes. It does feel good. Today, I will continue our conversation about the night dreams. I want to remind you, if you want to call in and share your dreams with us, I will be very happy to work with you on your dream so you and our audience may benefit from the experience. And the number to call is 888-874-4888. Again, 888-874-4888. And those of you who would like to write me an email with your questions or comments, can send me an email to drpeterresnick@gmail.com. But before we start our talk on night dreams, I would like to do a little show and tell. Well, it's a radio show. I can do only the tell, not the show. In truth, I just would like to share with you what I'm working on to make this show interesting for you. The first thing I wanted to share with you, and that's a quick side note for any of my listeners who are health professionals. By now, hopefully, you know a little bit about what I do and the tools I use in my practice. And I gave an introduction to the tools, an overview of the tools in my first show on December 1st. I incorporated everything I've learned through my over 40 years of research and experience into a 60-week program, which I will be teaching live through Zoom. And those who complete it will receive a certificate of graduation in the mind-body integrative therapy. If you're interested in the program or my other offerings, or just want to learn more about what I do, you can visit my website, drpeterresnick.com. I hope you found my interview with Wim Hof interesting, informative, if not inspiring. And I'm in the process of reaching out to other interesting people and inviting them to be guests on this show. I would love to hear from you. Who would you like me to invite? And I will reach out to those people. I'm talking about guests who contribute to healthcare and or people's mental, emotional, social, and spiritual well-being. Unfortunately, one person I wanted to invite for the interview on this show is no longer with us. And I only found out that he departed from this physical plane by looking him up on the internet. But I still want to tell you about this person because he is really a remarkable, or was and is a remarkable person. His name is Lawrence Leshan. He died just recently on November 9th, 2020, at the ripe age of 100. I read his books over the years, listened to his lectures on healthcare, and learned from him and from his recordings how to meditate. Dr. Leshan was an American psychologist, educator, and author. He authored and co-authored 75 articles in the professional literature and 13 books on a diverse range of topics, including psychology, war, cancer treatment, and mysticism. Everyone of his works was original, enlightening, and written from the heart. I know there are many young authors these days who wrote on subjects of health and healing, but as I look through most of these books that they write now, they all refer to the sources, like the work of Dr. Leshan. Then why not to read the original work? Leshan is one of those original thinkers who inspired a whole generation of practitioners in the field of healing. Another thing I wanted to share with you is that I was very fortunate to be introduced by Jesse, the program director at PRN. Thank you, Jesse. to Dr. Peter Bregan, whose work I have been following and admire for over 30 years. He's a world-known psychiatrist who wrote 20 books on the topic of psychiatry. One of his first, I think maybe even first book, is Toxic Psychiatry. At least that's how I was first introduced to his work, in which he alerted so many years ago the world of overuse and misuse of psychiatric drugs, and stood up against many methods that psychiatry employed which harmed more than helped. Not only Dr. Bregan and I connected through email, but he invited me actually for an interview on his YouTube channel, which was really a wonderful experience. I think the interview will be posted on YouTube this or next week. And it will be also aired here on PRN on the Dr. Peter Bregan Hour. I invited also Dr. Bregan to come for an interview on my show. So if you are interested, we already have a date. Dr. Bregan will be with me here on Tuesday, February 9th at 2 o'clock. Another person who I will interview in February is Dr. Oleg Reznik. Yeah, he is my nephew. He's a physician who wrote a very interesting book, Secrets of Medical Decision Making. The book, which is even more relevant today than it was 10 years ago when it first came out. So I really think you may benefit a lot from hearing what he has to say. So we have a lot of interesting stuff coming up. In addition to the interviews, I will continue sharing with you, as I promised, the healing tools I have acquired over a period of 43 years of my clinical practice. After we finish our talk on night dreams, we'll talk about the ways of dealing with daily stress. Then I will share with you what I know about the science and art of face reading. And then, well, by then I hope you will be calling in and suggesting other subjects of healing and health maintenance you want me to address. But I did receive a number of emails with your requests, so I take them into account and I will go one by one. After I shared with you the main tools that I utilize, I will be talking about subjects like dealing with cancer, heart disorders, chronic pain and the like, depression, anxiety. Let's now go back to the subject of the last week, the night dreams. Last week we spoke about the types of the night dreams, such as prophetic dreams, precognitive dreams, visitation dreams, and the regular, or what I call wisdom dreams. It is the wisdom dreams which is the main subject of my talks, because 90% of all dreams are this kind of wisdom dreams. They come to us with the purpose of aligning us to the present moment. When we look into a wisdom dream, we're looking into a mirror. Remember the wicked queen in the fairy tale? She wakes up every morning and looks into a mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. And the dream is that kind of a mirror available to us every morning and showing us to us. Imagine having a therapist or an advisor or counselor that is available every morning without fail, only if you have the intention you want to receive these messages, you want this advisor, and for free. That's what the dream, night dream is. Last week we spoke about how to, quote, work the dream. And you learned the three main questions you need to ask yourself when you begin working the dream. We spoke of the first out of five aspects of night dreams, the aspect of demonstrating to us our relationship with the world and ourselves around the time of the dream. four more facets of night dreams are still to be addressed. And that's what we'll do today. I have to cover everything. One next one is the global issues, that is physical and emotional challenges that we face in our lives, as opposed to our relationship with ourselves in the world. This is real challenges that we're facing. Next aspect is condition of our body at the time of the dream. That's what we can learn through the night dream. The next aspect is our unconscious beliefs. And finally, the dream is actually teaching us, or hinting on how to resolve the problems. I will take time today to teach you about the correction of the night dream, if it is necessary. And of course, making corrections is not my original idea. Kelton Stewart, who traveled to Malaysia in 1940s, I believe in 1942, characterized the Sinoy people, the indigenous people of that land, who viewed night dreams as guidance from the inner realm to the waking life, as a society with absence of violence, armed conflict, and mental and physical disease. For the Sinoy, the characters and forces in a dream, first and foremost, are reflective of different qualities of one's own self. When the images in the dream are threatening, the dreamer must fight them. And if the dreamer succeeds in winning the battle in a dream, the spirit of the adversary becomes the servant or an ally. Interesting, right? And what are we doing? What did I tell you last week? That's exactly the approach that we take. But we didn't learn it from Kelton Stewart. It's a very, very old tradition of dealing with the dreams. In fact, the Talmudic literature, we're talking about 2,000 years ago, speaks of or gives an advice. If one had a dream that caused him anguish, one must go back and turn it to good. Similar understanding of dreams can be found in virtually every culture, though not all have kept up the tradition of attending or making corrections within a dream. So let me start with a little clinical vignette. Jane, a 28-year-old newly married client of mine, had a dream in which a rodent made a house in her basement. It was kind of, she was disturbed, alarmed by that dream. And Jane shared that, I almost forgot. So the rodent in the dream started killing little kittens that already lived there. And, you know, I asked her the same three questions that I taught you to ask. And responding to a question, what is the first thought that comes to you when you think about the kittens, not the rodents? Jane shared with me her fantasy/image of her two children playing in the garden with little kittens. After considering a possible message of the dream, Jane decided to see her physician, and she discovered that she had ovarian cancer. Often in a dream, we encounter quantities and numbers. They are of great importance. A client of mine, let's call him Carl, after proposing to his girlfriend, had a dream in which he was picking seven roses for his fiancée. And two men in the store were giving him advice. He did not remember what advice they gave him. Understanding the numbers, two men, and seven roses, helped Carl to realize and address the ambivalence he felt about the future marriage. We'll go in detail about the meaning of numbers. You may wonder, What do numbers have to do with us? Why are numbers important? My teacher of blessed memory, Colette, said, a number in a dream is like a dream within a dream. Let me give you an idea of why numbers are so important. In fact, the numbers are not only woven into human psyche, they are part of the animal life as well. I'm not talking about Arabic numbers or Roman numbers. Numbers stand for quantity. And quantity is understood by humans and by animals. Think about a lion chasing a deer. What do? Go as fast as you can for the lion and for the deer, right? And that's, imagine for a moment, it's a horde of deer. And suddenly they run in different directions. As the lion started running, for a moment he will stop, pause, not completely, but where do I go? Do I go after this one or that one? And so the same with humans. You go up the flight of stairs and suddenly you have the corridor. You can go to the left or to the right. Where do I go? So what is the meaning of number two? Divided mind, conflict. What was about a lion chasing a deer? What do? Go as fast as you can. This is it. What's the meaning of number one? Centeredness, focus. But once the deer ran in different directions and he had to choose, that's the meaning of number two. Where do I go? To the left or to the right? So one is focus, two, conflict. And the higher we go in the meaning of the numbers, the more the numbers are meaningful only to humans. So let me give you the meaning of each number. Of course, if you have a pen, you can write it down. If not, just hear me out, and then you can always go, remember, in our archives and listen to this show again and write down the meaning of numbers, because it's very important. Anytime you have a dream, not even just a dream, if you begin to pay attention to numbers that happen, that you are facing in your life, they will tell you a story. They happen there not by a chance. There is a word, synchronicity, meaningful coincidences, and you will find that they're so meaningful, it will amaze you. So the meaning of number one, as I said, is unity, oneness. Number two, conflict, divided mind. Number three, synthesis, bringing yourself together after being divided. Number four, construction, home, marriage. Number five, creativity, love, sexuality. Number six, reunion, health, construction and synthesis on a higher level. Number seven, ambivalence, possibility to growth or destruction. Eight, something from the past that has not been resolved. Nine, completion. It's number three on the highest level. 10, it's perfection in everyday life. 11, conflict. 12, wisdom. 13, coming to oneness after being separated. 14, connectedness with others. 15, fulfillment of possibilities. 16, death or rebirth. 17, difficulties finding a way. 18, life. 19, grace. 20, trouble in marriage or relationship. Now, it may, again, those of you who are not too accustomed to numerology, meaning of numbers, can kind of doubt, how really can it work? Remember, this science of numbers, of colors, of shapes and forms, that is morphology, human morphology that I told you, or face reading that I told you we'll discuss. This science has evolved over millennia. And you may question, why do I call it science? Because the science is real science. No, the real meaning of the word science comes from Latin sensia, which means knowledge. So knowledge can be, I have knowledge by the age of 66, that is science of who Peter Resnick is. Finally, I'm getting to know. You can have science knowledge of religion. You can have science of architecture. You can have science of psychotherapy. All this is science, all this knowledge. Knowledge, by the way, literal definition of knowledge is understanding gained through experience. Anything that you experience is knowledge. Excuse me, I sip water. The only thing is that, excuse me, there is objective knowledge and there is subjective knowledge. Objective knowledge is the one that everybody can experience, observe the same way. That's what I would call objective science, now scientists call science. But there is also subjective science that nobody else can experience. I did with you this subjective science. Remember, I offered you some mental imagery exercises. And if we would have 10 people sharing with the experiences would be totally different. The subjective science of love. People experience love differently. People experience observing beautiful places, just watching the sunset or sunrise. It's a different experience for a different person. And yet it's still knowledge gained through experience. So it's also science. So we are in these sciences, not objective but subjective sciences, have been evolving for millennia, distilled and transmitted from teacher to student. So going back to the numbers, large numbers are simply to be reduced, if there is a big number in your dream, are simply to be reduced to one digital number by adding them. For example, if it's 325, you add 3, 2, and 5 becomes 10, and then you 0, you drop, and so it's number 1, really. Or it can be also 10, which also has its meaning, a perfection in everyday life. So, but I want to share with you one observation I made with numbers. Do you remember when September 11 happened? And immediately this numerology jumped out, September 11, 9, 1, 1, which makes it 11, conflict. And you say, oh yeah, that was a huge conflict. But in truth, it was a superficial look at the number September 11. Why? Because in truth, it's not September 11, it's September 11, 2001. So you need to add 9, 1, 1, 2, 1, which makes it 14, which means connectedness with others. Think of how powerful it is. In truth, outwardly, the September 11, the tragedy, thousands of people died, looked as conflict, as a disaster. But remember how the world, not only American people, pulled together, all people of who love freedom, who love honesty, love truth. When I say truth, yeah, there are people who don't like America. There are people who don't feel that America is doing right, or somebody doesn't feel that Russia is doing right. But there is diplomacy, not killing innocent people. So because of that murder of innocent people, so many people, particularly Americans, I remember we were saying hello to each other, passing each other on the street, strangers. So there was an incredible connectedness with others. So that's about the numbers of September 11. Conflict, but also connectedness with others. It's interesting, huh? Even if you don't believe in values numerology, it's kind of an interesting core incident. But if you look carefully, you may discover that life is a continuous series of these core incidents or continuous synchronicity. Now let's look at the meaning of colors. Like the images, like imagination and numbers, colors are innate language of all human beings. Colors appearing in night dreams may be reflective of one's physical or and emotional functioning. When there is too much of one particular color, it may be an indication of an imbalance in a particular physiological system. For example, a person dreaming of a bright red sky. When do you see red sky? Yeah, it can be many hues of different colors at the sunset, but not bright blood red sky. So that may be a message that there is a problem with his or her cardiovascular system. And yet it may be a sign of him or her being very angry. Only the dreamer can intuit which interpretation is right. It depends upon the context of the dreamer's life. But if a woman, for example, is menstruating and dreams tell her or show her a lot of red, it may be simply a reflection of the process in the body. Unless there is a story unfolding in a dream where the blood is involved, then it may be a wisdom dream. Here are the colors associated with bodily functions and emotions. Red color, it's our cardiovascular system, but also it's sexual energy. It can also can be fury. In fact, black combination of red and black is fury. Do you remember the Nazi flag? Isn't it interesting? This body of knowledge about colors is millennia old. But remember the Nazi flag? It's a red, a black twisted cross on the red background. Black and red. So that's fury. Yellow, it's a urinary system, but also it's energy. Remember the sun is yellow, but also can be fear. Blue, it's thyroid, but it's also spiritual energy. It also can be detachment. Orange, it's liver, also meaning female strength. Green, it's gallbladder, but also it's growth. Also can be envy. Remember green with envy? Gray, it's brain, but also it's a feeling of guilt. Violet, emotion life. White, it's a lymphatic system, but also purity. But remember, I am talking about Western spiritual tradition, Western healing tradition, because if a Chinese person sees white, it's a whole different meaning. It's physically, it is still lymphatic system, but purity, white in the Chinese culture is death, just like for us in the Western culture, it's life and purity and energy and so on. Dull black is death. Shiny black is rebirth and life. I'll give you an example. A client of mine, let's call him Alex, dreamt of visiting his mother's grave. Everything in the dream was just like in his waking life, except that he was dressed in all gray, a color that he never wore. Now, that's a red flag. We'll talk a little bit later about red flags, that it calls for your attention. He never wears gray. Suddenly, he's wearing gray in a dream. His work on this dream helped him to identify and address tremendous guilt about his relationship with his mother, which he had never resolved and carried with himself for years. Dreams often reveal unconscious beliefs. Remember, that's one of the aspects of dreaming. They reveal unconscious beliefs that govern our life. Remember, unconscious belief, you cannot know about your beliefs. It's, don't confuse it with positive wishes for something. That's not a belief, it's a wish. A wish to be free, a wish to be respected, a wish to succeed. The unconscious beliefs we can only know through a couple of avenues. One, you look at your life, that's a reflection of your beliefs. They are inner, informs the outer. The other way to know about our beliefs is through images, which are elicited by mental imagery. Remember, I did with you some exploratory exercises in previous meetings that we had. And another way is through night dreams. David, who was a chronic procrastinator, told me about a dream. I made up the name, by the way. I never give you names of real names of people. So he told me about a dream in which he found his friend, a talented inventor, crying out, "It just doesn't work. I'm a loser. I tried it 8 times. Remember the meaning of number 8? An unresolved issue. David recognized that the friend in the dream represented his unconscious belief. No matter how hard I work, I will fail. David finally understood that his procrastination was only a symptom of his fear of failure. But there was another thing involved, because if he failed at anything, he was killing himself. He was judging. So there was a big, big problem with judgment as well to work on. Once we identified the real issues, the issue of fear of failure and the issue of harsh judgment that he executed on himself, it was much easier to address David's life challenges. Let's talk about Linda, a 38-year-old woman who sabotaged her relationship with every potential person for marriage and or children that she claimed she wanted to have. She reported a dream in which she was a young musketeer. Remember, three musketeers? A young musketeer, which means it's what, the 16th, 17th century, walking proudly on the streets of Paris. On one of the corners, she encountered, encountered a prostitute who was pleading for money to feed her children. The young musketeer dropped a few coins in the woman's hand and walked away in disgust. Linda recognized that the young musketeer was an independent, proud, adventurous, and generous quality of herself. She identified the poor prostitute as a belief, reflecting a belief in her. Once you are mother, you are no longer free. You do anything for your children at any cost for yourself. And of course, if you have this belief, you run away. Consciously, you may say, "I want to have children," but you run away from any opportunity to have them. This realization helped Linda to understand the reasons for her behavior in relationships. And thankfully, you know, she was able to get over it. And now I know this woman. She's happily married, actually, and with, you won't believe it, 5 children. Now, so far I have discussed understanding the dreams as they relate to our waking life. But understanding the dream is only the first step. The next step is making change, if it's necessary. If the dream clearly indicates that there is a physical problem, the best thing to do is to go for medical checkup. If the dream shows emotional conflict, the conflict needs to be addressed. Now, if the dream showed that there is some physical problem and you went to see a physician, the physician said, "You're absolutely fine." Unfortunately, I have to say, and I've had this experience and discussed it with a physician a long time ago, it doesn't mean you don't have a problem. In fact, a physician who was may not be able to identify or to uncover or see on our means of examination, whether it's an X-ray or tests, the problem yet. But the problem is already energetically there. And it's possibly caused by some emotional disturbance. And if the emotional disturbance is not resolved, the problem will indeed occur in the place where you are dreaming it's happening. So do not neglect it, which means if a person is having chest pain, goes to see a doctor, and the doctor says, no, you're absolutely fine. You have to ask yourself, what is on my chest? And if something comes to you, some conflict, you better deal with what's on your chest. Okay? Our night dreams are reflective of our waking life. As waking life changes, so do the dreams. By correcting a problem in a dream, we can stimulate the changes in our waking life. To make a correction in a dream, you do not need to go back to sleep. The correction can be successfully made as an imagery exercise. To make a correction, just sit quietly in the upright position, close your eyes, and mentally state your intention. For example, I'm doing this exercise with an intention. Let's say you had a dream where you were captured by enemies. With an intention to find freedom, then go back into the dream to the most, to the greatest distress, and use your will and imagination to make a resolution to your liking. In the example above, you can kill your captors, you can bring police and put them in jail, or you can make peace with them. It all depends on who you are, your personality. Never pre-plan how you will act before the beginning of the exercise. Do what feels right in the moment. Remember, in the world of imagination, everything is possible. Okay? I'm thinking now about what other examples I want to give you. Sometimes the issue or issues in our inner life are so important that our unconscious sends messages over and over again. This is when we have repetitive dreams. The messages are often an invitation to deal with the issue. For example, if you find yourself getting lost in many dreams. You go somewhere, you cannot find your way. You take a train, the train goes to a different station that you don't know. You may be consciously and aware of the need to make a decision or find your way. If you dream of doing something tedious, you may be unaware that it's time to move on. That consciously you may be saying, oh, I'm paid well, I'm happy with what I do, but deep inside, your unconscious knows the truth. It was something just came to my mind a long, long time ago. I don't remember where I read. I remember it was an article or a night dream, but I remember the title, Nazi, the dreams of Nazi Germany. And so remember, not, oh, right, I remember. The book was called Hitler's Willing Executioners. Yes, no, I remember. It was a book, actually, at someone's either doctorate dissertation or master's thesis on World War II, which was so good that eventually it was published as a book. And one of the chapters, yes, one of the chapters was the Nazi Germany dreaming, something like this, or dreams of Nazi Germany. And what the author was saying is many, many people supported Hitler. You know, the whole idea of racial purity and being proud and your fatherland, a lot of people, some people resisted and some, many supported because they benefited from what Hitler was doing. But the night dreams that many people reported were about falling into an abyss, of being captured and not being able to come out of some dungeon, or being lost in the maze. And many, many people reported falling down, not being able to stop the decline, sliding down. We're talking about like thousands and thousands of dreams. Why? Because even though consciously people said, Heil Hitler, we're proud, deep inside, we know what is true. Deep inside, we all know unconsciously what is right. If you dream that you speak on the phone, but cannot hear the person with whom you speak, the message may be that you are not listening, you know, you refuse to hear somebody, or literally that you cannot hear and you need to go to see an ear doctor. And yet, it also may be the message that there is a conflict between you and somebody if it's a particular person that you cannot hear. It all depends on you knowing you, knowing your habits. That's why, and knowing the meaning of the things and objects and people that mean to you. That's why all these dream books, you know, I've saw somewhere a book, 10,000 dreams interpreted. I think it's a waste of your money because no dream can be interpreted for you. That's why I tell people, don't send me your night dreams. I need to ask you what it means. For example, I spoke about Hitler, right? And if I say, what's the first thought that comes to you about Hitler? And you may say, horror. Like for me, it's devastation. So many people in my family were murdered. And somebody else, some neo-Nazi will say, if you say, what's the first thought that comes to you about Hitler? And he will say, a hero, a true leader, right? So if this person would be asked by someone like me who asked the meaning of the characters in the dream, what's the first thought that comes to you? And he would say, a great leader. I would say, now, how do you relate to that leader? What does Hitler do in your night dream? And he said, well, he is contemplating, he's standing in front of a map or something like this. I would say, well, there is a leader part in you, there are a part that you don't necessarily know, but it's already searching for something on the map. That is, you may be the leader and you want to relocate or look for some changes in life. You understand? So the meaning is totally different of the same person or the same object, or totally different depending on the person. When the dream involves any problems with bodily functions, simply notice how you feel and trust your intuition. Remember that a repetitive dream is only a call for attention. But I would suggest anytime you have a dream about some physical problem, notice if your intuition says you need to have a checkup, do go and have a checkup. A nightmare is another call for attention, but with greater urgency. Something frightening is happening in your life, whether you're consciously aware of it or not. There is a conflict that must be addressed. The questions to ask upon awakening are, what qualities of myself do I see? How do I relate to those qualities? How do they relate to each other? Because there may be many characters. If this dream was a story, what title would I give? I'm just repeating to you these three questions that I already told you about. If you can answer these questions, you may get an insight into the issues that you are facing in your life at the time of the dream. But even if you do not understand the full meaning of the dream, it is still beneficial to make a correction of a disturbing dream. Remember, a night dream is not only a reflection of what has been happening in your life till the moment of dreaming, but also a blueprint of what is to unfold in your life in the days to come. Do you like what you see? If you do not, make a correction. You have the opportunity to chart your waking life, the course of your life, from within your inner world. Understanding of a dream is only half of the work. The other half is making a correction if needed. So I want now to repeat one more time, even if you're not writing it down, it's very simple. How to make a correction? You sit quietly in the upright position. You close your eyes and you state your intention. For example, if the dream you were in a dream, you were lost in a dark tunnel and you don't understand because you don't see any connection in your waking life, everything is fine. Maybe your unconscious is recognizing some emotional turbulence that is happening, but you don't understand. Okay, still make a correction. If you were lost in a dark tunnel, you close your eyes and you're stating in your mind, I'm doing this exercise with the intention to find the way to the light. And then you see, we imagine number five turning into four turning into three becoming two, one, zero, see zero elongating, becoming a mirror. Step into the mirror and into the moment of the greatest distress of the dream, and use your will and imagination to make a resolution to your liking. After completing the correction, go out of the mirror, look back and see in the mirror the last scene of your triumph, and then open your eyes. In the example above, you could also make a torch. You could break the walls of the tunnel. You could bring a helper, someone you trust, to guide you out of the maze. You never pre-plan how you want to act before the beginning of the exercise. Do what feels right in the moment. Remember, in the world of imagination, everything is possible. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's so important to make corrections. You know, I actually, over the years, I've taught so many courses of night dreams. And some people even created dream communities, which means after they took my course, in the past, it would be usually 8 or 9 week course. And then some people of the course decided to get together every other week and share their dreams. And I know a couple of dream communities still exist in New York, you know, for more than a decade. I encourage people to share, adults to share with their children what they know about night dreams and share their night dreams within the family. That promotes a lot of closeness and understanding of each other. Let me quickly, I'm looking at the clock now. I want to share with you something else. I want to tell you about the, since we're talking about children, about children's night dreams. Researchers find that children begin to dream as early as the age of 3. These dreams are generally very short, and other characters in a dream usually passive, and there is not much action. And the person usually does not see himself, or the child see himself or herself acting. Generally, the child before the age of 5 or 6 lives emotional life of the mother. And so if you notice your child is waking up at night, notice in what state the mother was. If you had arguments, if parents had arguments, the child will wake up. After the age of 5 or 6, dreams double in length, and there is an increase in physical and in interpersonal activities within the dream, though the dreamer most of the time still remains passive. Around this age, children begin to report dreams with animals, monsters, and frightening figures which threaten their lives and those who they love. And just like adults, children's dreams are a mirror of their soul, reflect their emotional development. They're also a stage upon which different qualities of the dreamer are displayed. And finally, they're an opportunity for parents to investigate the drama in their child's inner development. So I would very much encourage you teaching your children about dreams, encouraging them to share their dreams. Let me tell you about one child I remember shared with me actually a dream. His name was Alex. That was many years ago. I can tell you now because this Alex is a grown person now. At that time he was 6 years old and his mother was 8 months pregnant. Now he had a nightmare, and the nightmare Alex started having nightmares, and he also started wetting his bed and acting out in school. In a dream, Alex and his mother were attacked by a monster who was trying to open his mother's belly and to take away the baby. Alex's favorite cartoon character happened to be a Spider-Man. So I told Alex that in the world of images, everything was possible. First, I asked him to practice on imagining me having two noses and 4 ears. We laughed a little bit. And then I asked him to become a Spider-Man. And I asked Alex to close his eyes, become a Spider-Man, and go back into the dream with the intention to protect his mother. Alex defeated the monster, put him in a cage, and sent him in the cage by UPS to prison. The nightmares never came back, and the boy stopped wetting his bed. Now, who was the monster in the dream? Was it Alex's own fear of losing his mother to the new baby? Was it his unconscious desire to destroy the newcomer, the little baby? Or was he seeing his mother's vulnerability and did not know how to protect her? Was it none of the above? We don't know. We do know that as he defeated the monster and sent him to prison, the quality of his waking life changed dramatically. Alex's behavior in school improved, and he stopped, as I said, wetting his bed. So that's the wonderful thing. And I would like to end the story. Just pleasant for me to remember, because the kid was very loving. The last scene was when he defeated the monster, and I said, "And what do you do now?" And he said, "I take my mother to the summer." So his idea of the best thing in the world was summer. So he took his mother in the summer. His mom heard it and cried. So I want to end our meeting today with a poem. You probably heard Khalil Gibran, a wonderful poet from Lebanon. The little book he wrote, he wrote many books, but from the prophet. And the woman who held the baby against her bosom said, "Speak to us of children." And he said, "Your children are not your children. They're the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they're with you, they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit even in your night dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you, for life goes not backward, nor stays with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends it with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves the bow that is stable. There are many stories I still want to tell you. I made a note for myself to tell you a couple of stories, but I'm running out of time. So I want to thank you for being with me today. Please send me your feedback and requests for other shows. If you have any questions, send me an email, drpeterresnik@gmail.com, and please visit my website, drpeterresnik.com. And that's all for today. Thank you for being with me on this journey. I hope to have your ear next Tuesday. Peace to all who want to live in peace. Adelante, get up to the beat, adelante to the beat, ay segumba. Come on, baby, hit it, take it, move it, deep it to the rumba. I don't wanna do the mambo, salsa, tango.